Hi, and welcome to another episode of Django Chat. I'm Carlton Gibson. I'm joined as ever by Will Vincent. Hi, Will.
Hi, Carlton.
This week, we're going to talk about search, which is something you might want in your Django application.
Yes, it is something you might want in your Django application, and it is not a built-in feature. So that is a conundrum that there's two stages, I would say, to the journey of search in Django. If you're like me, my first major Django project, I stumbled through Django, and then at a certain point, this was a school rating search. So I had 120,000 K-12 schools in the US, and at some point I wanted a search bar. And I was like, okay, well, Django will help me out here. No. Okay. How do I implement basic search? It's not that it's hard. It's that it requires a pretty deep understanding of Django, which we'll get into. You have to understand forms and query sets and passing things around. And then once you get past that hurdle, the second phase is search is actually really, really, really hard. And everyone expects it to be really good because they use Google or DuckDuckGo all day long. So Django happens to have now built-in support if you use Postgres for full-text search, which we'll get into. So we'll get into all that, starting with the very basics and then advanced options. But basically, search sounds easy until you've tried it, and then you go, hold the phone.
Right. So what's the first step? Like, you know, you've created a form in your HTML, so you've got search and a button that says search next to it, and you're maybe with a magnifying glass.
So what would I say? The first thing is you need some data. So you need to, we'll start at first principles. You need to spin up your project, make an app. Then you need some data, populate in the admin or a script to load it in. So get your models. And then I would say the way I like to teach this is if you think about what it is, it's a form and it's a view of some kind. Basically, it's kind of a list view. So if you start by saying, okay, I'm just going to list view, let's say there's 10 rows in my database, list all 10. Okay, now I want to filter them because basically search is a filter. You're saying of all the things in my database, how do I filter them based on the user query? So we'll get to the user query, but first with filters, and actually, so I would say you know, the basic way is use a list view and then you can use the filter method. You can use contains, iContains, which is case insensitive. All get excluded, and you can do some filtering on your list. And actually, you maintain the Django filter package, right, Carlton?
Yeah,
you want to give that a plug?
Yeah, okay. So Django filter is great for this exact use case. You've got a form, which then submits something probably via get request, so query parameters in the URL, right? And you want to, first of all, validate that those are sane. And then you want to take a query set and you want to filter it by whatever fields you're allowed to filter. So let's say you've got an address book with some names, just one single name, like so Adam Johnson, Will Vincent, Carlton Gibson, Tom Christie, you know, these are names that you've got in there and you just want something that matches it. So you have a character filter that filters on strings and you set it to filter on that name field and anything that matches will be returned. And that's a nice way of filtering down from your address book of 300 to four matches, say.
Yeah, and I like the way you said that. So I'm take it slightly different, more abstract, because I was thinking in terms of if I show code to people, but podcasts, I can't show code. So the first step is you set up your basic form, right? And then the key thing I think that's really hard to understand is you can use the name field and you can set an input, which is the query itself. You can call it whatever you want. Generally, you would call it a queue.
Yeah,
so if you go to Google and type in a search, but you have the flexibility to call it whatever you want. It just happens to be often called queue. And then if you're using a list view, you need to modify the query set. So you can do that just as a field query set, or you can do get query set and have a little more options. And you pass in the queue as the query that you then filter on. I have a post on this, which we'll link to. But so your description was great and correct. But in terms of like the logistics of like, well, how do I get the query? That's a aha moment for people to see how it's passed from the form to the view to be used.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would use an actual Django form here. And Django filter does this under the hood, creates a Django form. And then you validate the form so that, you know, it isn't some crazy value that might do harm to your database. It's at least going to look like a character field. And then you get the data out. So that comes in the request.get. You put it into a Django form and you validate it like you should do with all user input ever. You get it out of the form and then you pass that value to the query set, to your filter method of the query set.
Right.
And like, for instance, if you've got an integer field, if you just pass the raw value from the the query set into an integer field, it's not the right type because you need an integer. Whereas if you passed it through a form field, which is an integer form field, it will give you back an integer. So it casts the, or a date field, it will give you back a date from a string. You know, mm-hmm. it, if you need those kind of, that kind of casting, if you're not dealing just with plain strings, the form can do that transformation for you and can clean that step up. So that's worth always, all input from all users, all times, through either a Django form or a REST framework serializer or something to sanitize it.
And that, yeah, that Mozilla has a very in-depth two guides to this, to sending the form data and then separately to validating it. So I'll link to those. But the good news is if you use a Django form, you get most of that out of the box. So,
and you also get the form rendered in HTML too.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so you've got the data. Now what? So you can do these basic filters. As I mentioned, you know, you can, and specify on, say, the name field and the title field, whatever you want. And you can also chain them together so you can AND them. But sometimes, and definitely, you will want to do ORs. So maybe search by the name of the author or the title. And for that, you need a Q object. Do you want to take a stab at Q objects? Because that's a pretty cool, I would say, intermediate advanced feature that you use all the time once you know it's there.
Yeah, so Q object is exactly the same. So a Q, when you call filter and you pass in, name equals Adam. Right. And that's short for name underscore underscore exact equals Adam, because there's an implicit lookup there. The lookup is exact or contains or I contains any of these lookups. And the default one is exact. So if you don't specify one, the ORM puts that in under for you. And you pass those in as keyword arguments into the filter method or the exclude method of your query set. A Q object just lets you take that pair, that lookup, and create it as a Q object, which you can then pass into the filter method or the exclude method in place of those keyword arguments. So it takes Qs. If you pass in just a keyword argument, it turns it into a Q under the hood and then processes it after. But the great thing about Qs is you can apply Boolean logic to them. So they can be ANDed or ORed or combined in whichever way. So they're really handy. It's worth checking out the docs. We should link to those in the show notes.
Yep, we will. So, and then the form itself, you talked briefly about this, but get versus post. So this is the two ways you can send data. So a get would, a post bundles the form data, encodes it, and sends it directly to the server. A get bundles it, but puts it into a string that is in the destination URL. So again, if you do a Google search, go look at the URL and you will see it will be google.com Q equals and a string that matches the query that you made. So in general, for a search, the basic rule of thumb is if something's going to touch the database and update it, you should do a post. Or if it's something that's secure credit card information, you should do a post. But if it's just a search query, a lot of the times you can get away with just using a get.
But not only get away with it, it's much better because you can bookmark that URL.
Yeah.
Right? So say you do a search and you've spent, you know, the Django issue tracker is a classic example. There's, you know, 1,200 open accepted tickets, and there's 48,000 ways of filtering those tickets. And you learn to filter by component, and then, you know, needs docs, and you get it down, and there's four tickets, and you think, yeah, I can take on those four tickets, and they're all related, and then you can just get that URL, and you can bookmark it, and you can go back to that search, and if you want to, it's there. Whereas to go back and have to rebuild your search from scratch is, well,
yeah, you know. That might be particular to your situation.
No, but that applies to any.
But I understand. Okay, I've never done that in my life, but I understand that I could.
So I guess, but have you ever taken a Google URL and sent that to your partner or to your, you know,
yeah,
to your mom?
Sure. Well, DuckDuckGo. But yeah.
But you're doing exactly the same thing. You're taking the
that's true. Okay,
the URL
enough.
With the query
context.
Parameters already in, and you're sharing it with somebody else. Now, in my case, I'm sharing it with my future self, but I could equally be sharing it with, you know,
yeah.
Marius.
Well, I have seen developers I respect implement search with post and had this argument with them. To me, it seems like you would always use a get in. But next time I have this debate with them, I'll share.
You know, if anyone wants to come on the show and tell us why you should use post for your URLs, happy.
Yeah, I won't name names publicly, but I'll have that debate. Okay, so what's the next stage? So it'd be nice to go beyond a query to maybe an entire document, a book, an email, and you can do that with what's called full text search. So this is a search we're used to. This is what Google does. where you can search. What's the technical term is in Postgres is a document, and that can just refer to any kind of body of knowledge. So what are the options for this? So there's a couple, we'll get into how that works, but standard solutions, you've probably heard of Elasticsearch. You could use Solr. There's hosted solutions like Algolia, SwiftType, which is now owned by Elastic. So if you don't want to spin up your own server, there are some hosted solutions. Or you could also use, there's a third-party app, Django Haystack, which actually I used for one of my companies back in the day that connects, that's a really nice interface and connects via a driver to Solr, Elasticsearch, or even Woosh, which is built in Python, so you can do it on SQLite. So you can try out cool search without having to get into Postgres SQL and installing that. So yeah, so full text search. So what is it? Actually, before we get, what is it? It's been in Postgres since 2008 and in Django since version 1.10, so 2016. Mark Tamlin led that charge. Were you a Django fellow in 2016?
That was so those days being a Django user for quite a while, I followed that project with great interest as I was on the Contrib Postgres stuff as soon as it came out.
Right, you had a Kickstarter to fund it.
Yeah, and that was super. They were good times, like, because Tom Christie had the DRF Kickstarter, REST Framework Kickstarter that really pushed that forward, and then there was the Contrib Postgres Kickstarter about the same time. You know, Django was.
Can we do that really for async? Because Andrew was talking about some. Well, I guess it ties into the DSF.
This is exactly where Andrew's at the moment, thinking about the fundraising for the async stuff. So, I mean, you know, realistically, I think we can go. We'll get async views in, and then the question is, well, where's the money come for, say, the ORM rewrite? That's big. And there are async backends, and there is the appetite for it, but it's a big job, and that's going to need support somehow. So it'd be a Kickstarter, a Mozilla grant, whether one of the big corporations can come in. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's worked before. So in this case, there is now a dedicated module that will wrap up all these full text Postgres features for you. And so full text itself, without getting into all of how it works, you can do things like rankings, you can do indexing, which is important for performance, you can do phrase search, so just more intelligent queries, you can do stop words, so ignore things like the that are very common. This is all language specific. You can do stemming, which is also language specific, so you can match. So for example, if someone typed in ran, you can say, well, that matches to run, if you're just doing a straight query, there's no intelligence there. You can do accent, different languages, JSON support. So all the things you would expect from a decent search, which really comes down to relevance, full text search gets you there. And it's a really deep and interesting field. And the docs on the Postgres site, chapter 12, which we'll link to, are fantastic. And yeah. I'm giving a talk at DjangoCon on this, so I'll get into this a little bit. But
I was wondering, have you seen anything on like the performance of Postgres full text search versus, say, something that's Lucene backed like Elasticsearch or Solr? If you've already got Postgres up and running, it's quite good. It gets you quite a long way. And what I'm not sure about is at what point it's like, no, the quality is better here, and then it's worth the extra ops effort to get. Because Elasticsearch isn't easy to run.
Totally, based on what I've read and spoken to people about, it is very, very performant. So I would believe that there are cases where Elastic and these other ones are better, and it might depend on the structure of the data, but it is very performant. And a lot of folks that I know are setting up using this module. It's all built in. They don't have to rely on external service, and they're very happy. And these are large sites. But that would be a good question.
If you can avoid spinning up one extra service, I mean, an Elasticsearch isn't the easiest service to run in the world. So if you can avoid spinning up that extra dependency, you've just got so much more capacity.
Exactly. It's easy. It's built in. It's free. I think we're going to have, we'd like to have someone from, there's a number of prominent Django people who I think work for Elastic. We could have them on and ask them that question. It's a good question. I would definitely start with someone knowledgeable in Postgres search. And then, see where you go from there. So So the package in Django has a number of fields that make some things easier. We'll link to this. This is in the docs. So it has a search vector, so you can query against more than one field in your database. Search vector is a search query, so you can add stemming and stop words. Search rank, so you can get into all the ranking. And you can, I guess the last big one is there's also a search vector field where for performance you can add that, but you need to do a manual trigger. So with all these things, it really depends on, is the data static or is it dynamic? So how much is it changing? With indexing, Postgres has a gist, which is faster for dynamic data versus a gin for static data. And same thing with, just in general with search, the question is how fast is your data changing? Because you don't ever want to actually do a query against the data. You want to do a separate process that pre-processes everything and creates the indexes. But do you need to do that every hour, every day, every minute? Trade-offs, they're kind of fun to do, but that's why it's hard to give a blanket statement on best way to do it. It depends on the data and it depends on your needs.
Yeah, I mean, that's always true. I mean, what's interesting is you get, like, it's a massively complicated topic.
It depends, right? We got to our tagline. What's the answer?
Yeah, it depends. But like, you know, my experience is more with Elasticsearch, and you will spend so long filtering with indexes, and you know, you will re-index, and it's like that will be a most painful operation because you realized you needed to query your data in a slightly different way, or you weren't getting the results you want, and so you re-index the whole thing, and that takes hours, and then it's like search is tough. It just really is. So you know,
yeah,
you've got to be prepared
to give it
some love.
Especially if you're in like an e-commerce situation, you know, there's huge teams that focus just on this because it is a tough thing.
But it's speed of result as well, right? Because, I mean, this is the other factor, but at some point, just doing a row scan on your database to see see the records which contain the text you're looking for, it's not going to be good enough, but it's not going to be fast enough either. You need it to be pre-indexed so that you get a result quickly. You know, Google found 2 million results in 0.004 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is, in addition to my talk, which we'll link to, I'm not sure if it'll be out. I'm giving a talk at DjangoCon on this topic. There's some fantastic existing talks that have criminally low view counts on YouTube. So we'll link them in the notes, but Paolo Malfiori, sorry if I said that wrong, has a full text search in Django talk he's given at, I think, EuroPython. Marcus Holderman last year at DjangoCon Europe gave On the Lookout for Your Data a talk. I know there are some talks on Django and Elastic in particular that are worth looking at that we'll link to. So it's a deep topic. You know, this podcast and my tutorial and the talk, I really want to get people up to speed where they can start doing full text search instead of just saying, we'll just airdrop you in with a fully configured Django project. And of course, you know how forms and views works. You know, I want to be able to help people ramp up and see how you can progress.
As well, it's a good learning curve because you don't need, like, we finish off talking about full text search and Postgres and Elastic and these kind of things, which are much bigger, but you can get quite a long way with just, you know, filtering on the ORM.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Until you've
exactly.
got thousands of records, like many thousands of records, an I contains will 9 times out of 10 get you everything you need.
Yeah, that's a good
record I wanted.
Yeah, and unless you're an e-commerce site, is it worth the time? You know, maybe not. It is fun to play with. So those are the highlights, and definitely for forms too. Using a built-in Django forms, you know, the forms is maybe one of the coolest, I would say, at least from the beginner perspective, appreciated aspects of Django, because you don't think about the fact that forms are really hard and there's so much security and thought put into what we already have in Django. So
yeah, and who likes the writing that HTML by hand? It's just gonna kill you.
Oh, it's not so bad. I give an example, but yeah, it's better to use as with everything in Django, if you can rely on the work of millions of smart people, you should do it. So, all right, that's the highlights for the talk. If you have any feedback, you can find us at ChatDjango on Twitter. We're at DjangoChat.com site, and we have a newsletter which you're welcome to sign up for if you want regular updates. So that's all for now. We'll see you next time.
See you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.